Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
On Blog Talk Radio. Hey, we're fixing to go live here. We're on YouTube Live as well, so that's what we're checking on. We'll see you in a second here. All right, hold on.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show. This is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. We're here live. It is Monday. Happy Monday to everybody. It's July 25th, and then we're still in 2022, so no chance of that changing. But, hey, just check us out here. This is Redneckinize Radio. We're here live, and it is 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. Central Time. And hope everybody is having a great day. It's almost coming to the end. Mine this day just got started because after this, I go to work. So I go to work after this show, and then I do my regular job, and then I come back and spend some quality time with the good truckers out there and everything, have a great time. So you can call in 515-602-9731. Hope everybody's having a great night out there. And you can follow along, or if you want to participate, you can push one on the line and then get on in here and have a conversation. So we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. And we'll talk about life on the road.
That's what we're generally here doing, is just keeping up with all things trucking and then some, and trying to bring the better understanding of the brotherhood of the trucking out there to everybody, and hope everybody has a great time improving themselves and just learning the best thing they can about the industry. So stay with it. So before we go along, I just want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. You can check them out at truckertools.com, or you can just download their app from your app store, any app store off your cell phone there. It is an application for the truck drivers specifically so that they can, you know, you can book freight, you can track freight, or you can also just plan your routes. You know, you can find fuel stops, maintenance facilities, parking spaces, and just different things. They even have a separate little guide there just to search for Walmarts. That's it, and that's pretty cool. So, yeah, check them out at truckertools.com, or like I said, download their app from your app store, and appreciate all their support for Redneck and Eyes. So just want to get into things. I wanted to try to get up with everybody with what's going on and everything, and see how things are going. So we were checking up on just, you know, what's happening, what's going on that truckers should be talking about. And one of the things is the speed limiters. You know, there's a thing going on right now where the FMCSA is actually trying to get with, like, a mandate to control the speed of the trucks. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to create a mandatory governed speed limit for the, you know, larger vehicles. And they're trying to say, you know, hey, if you've got a vehicle that has the onboard computer, you know, the ECM engine control module, that, you know, you got to have your truck governed. Now, that, you know, the thing it is, though, is they haven't even really specified what speed it would be. That's the biggest thing. So that's the one thing I just can't put my head around. I thought the regulation was you write the regulation. You know, I thought the law was you write the regulation. You spell it out. This is what the law will be. Comment on it. But they didn't do that. They said we're gonna speed the trucks. We just don't know exactly how or when, and we don't know exactly, you know, how we're gonna enforce it and all that. Just, you know, we don't know anything. All we know is we're gonna speed limit. What do you think? And of course, you know, actually, Landline Now did a good article on there. They got it on the cover of their July. If you can't, you guys see that on YouTube. It's the Landline Now, Landline Magazine. They got it on the cover, and it says, truckers to feds, slow your roll, is what it says on there. And it says, drivers speak out against FMCSA speed limiter proposal. So that, to me, was a call to action. And I talked about it several times here on the radio program about what do we do and how do we do it and what's going on. And so let's see if I can find it on here. What I was going to do is pull up the FMCSA. Now, it's regulations.gov. That's the website that has all the rule proposals and how you handle that. So if you go on there, and then there's a couple of, like, you know, what's trending. So they have, you know, like right now, it's the Food and Drug Administration tobacco product standard for menthol in cigarettes. So I guess they want to, I just think it's funny, you know. I thought maybe menthol is what I guess maybe that's a more of a chemical than it is a flavor. I don't know. But then they have Environmental Protection Agency, Clean Water Act, Hazardous Substance, Worst Case Discharge Planning, Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, Environmental Impact Statements, Availability for National Outer Continental Shelf Oil. That kind of thing is trending. So if I went in here and I said 2022 speed limiter, and it came up here, speed limiter, it came up here automatically. So let's see what it says. And what it is you want it for a proposed rule. So all these others, it just says other. You don't need that. That's not what we want. We want proposed rules. So if they got anything else. But I was going to look it up because they actually extended the comment period, and then they closed the comment period, but then it was still up. Like it said, okay, it's over. They were still allowing comments. So Looks like they might have taken it down. Let's see here. Department of Transportation speed limiter legislation. Document details. No, that was just... See, what it has is stuff got done back in the day, right? We know that, right? And, no, I'll see you on here. They don't put... Yeah, there it is. That's the dates. Yeah, I can't really find it. They might have taken it down now because the comment period went over until like the 23rd. And, of course, they make it really hard to follow. Let's just go in here and Google it. Maybe we can find here. Freight Waves had an article they posted 3 days ago on July 22nd. FMCSA speed limiters unsafe at any speed is a question mark that they asked. And a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put in a link. And you can usually find the link in there. And they don't have it. Why don't you got links to other deals? I'll tell you what, I spent a little time here earlier. We're looking for it now. I can't find it now. But this here, this was, like you said, this was done on the 22nd. And it says plans by federal regulators to issue a proposed rule requiring speed limiters on truck engines is getting pushed back by another significant portion of the trucking sector. It says the FMCSA, April notice seeking comment on the plan, which the agency aimed to issue as a proposed rule for public comment in 2023, generated more than 15,000 responses. Most came from independent owner-operators and small trucking companies. Now, you might think 15,000, is that a lot or not a lot? It's pretty good. What I was doing is I was looking at the regulations.com and the list of most of all of the proposed rules and the commenting periods and all that. And I tell you, like, the ones that get the most is like the FDA, and the outdoor, you know, parks and wildlife and all that. And they're getting around, you know, between 15,000, 20,000. Sometimes I've seen as high as 30, but very rare. But most of them are all between 12, to, you know, almost 20, not quite 20. But, you know, 15 is in the ballpark. The ones that get the least is the EPA. So when all the politicians stand up here and says, oh, environment, we need to protect the environment. Well, guess what? Nobody cares because nobody's commenting. nobody, you know. So when you get 15,000 comments on one aspect of a rule and then the same website allows comment for the EPA but nobody comments, that says something to me. But that the 15,000 is a pretty good number. It's in the ballpark. It's a good average. So don't be, you know, misleading about that. That's a good number. He says most came from, like I said, owner-operators and small trucking companies, which account for the majority of the FMCSA's regulated carriers, and most were adamantly against it. He goes, I lease my trucks to a company that requires us to limit our speed to 65, wrote an owner of IAB Trucking. I feel it has made my drivers more unsafe. As they get caught up in packs of drivers, is that they're unable to maneuver when necessary. And I think that automobile drivers are even angrier around trucks that they have their speed limiters. He goes, please do not require this. And yeah, you know, I mean, that's the main thing that truckers complain about when they complain about speed limiters is that, you know, of course the good drivers will tell you, you know, I want to drive between 60, 65, maybe 70, depending on where I'm at. You know, I'll control that speed, but if I need to get on it and get around somebody, I will. you know, and that's what we want to be able to do. What happens is that when you have a speed governed trucks, let's say at 60, 65, I mean, you know, I've worked for those different companies that have done that stuff. And, you just, what happens is that they just push the needle every day. Every time they get in behind the wheel and you think, well, the speed limiter is 65. Well, it doesn't matter. If the speed limit is 55 or 60, that truck's doing 65. You know, that truck's always doing 65. Let's say that you say, well, okay, we're going to back it up. We're going to take it up to 67 or 68. That truck will always go 68. Whether it, the speed limit is 55, 60, or 65, that truck will always be doing 68. You know, it's like no matter what. And I'd be interested to notice if there was any, like, I remember the only speeding ticket that I ever got in a big truck was because I was out there on those backcountry roads. And, you know, you're getting down the road. Everybody's going 70, 75. I'm only doing 65. And you're coming into a small town, and I just didn't back it off soon enough. You know, you hit the speed limit sign that says 55 or 45, and you're still doing well over that, you know, and it's like I allowed the truck to slow down. You know, it was out there in the middle of West Texas somewhere. So it wasn't like I was coming up against a red light or any kind of like heavy traffic. It was just, I was coming into a town where the speed limit signs changed. And he's like, well, you know, I went down to 45 back there. I was like, wait, where back there? I didn't hit a building until 100 feet ago. You know, so it's one of those things where they move the speed, you know, they set the speed wherever they want to set it. And if you don't pay attention to that, then, you know, and as a governed truck, I see a sign that says speed limit and I just, you know, I see speed limit. Okay, next. Because, you know, you get into that mentality, you know, that was back in like 99, 2000. And it's one of those things where you just, you know, I can't go any faster than the speed limit. Speed limit 75. I'm doing 65. So if I see another speed limit sign, you know, you just have to notice. You learn to notice that you're coming into a town, so you kind of have to back off and watch out, you know, because that's what they like to do to big trucks. So that's what it is. You know, I would like to see if there was like an increase of speeding violations like that, where if a driver is going 65, does he have any more speeding tickets in the lower speed areas than a driver that does 70, 75, you know, or no limit? You know, you just try to say, okay, we followed these trucks for a year, you know, how did it improve? And that's what I'd like to see, you know. And of course, I think that if you did that, if let's say that some government study by a university or something like that, and they followed like, you know, 100 Swift trucks and then 100 Landstar trucks, and they followed them for a year, what would it be like? You know, violations, you know, accidents, all that. What would it look like? And if you took the, like, I don't know. You know, I could see accidents much, very high on the Swift side. And that really has nothing to do with the speed limiters. It has nothing to do with the companies itself. It all has to do with the drivers. You got more experienced drivers for Landstar than you do for Swift. You know, so you'd have to eliminate that too, because less experienced drivers get more tickets. Less experienced drivers have more accidents. So, you know, that's one of the things that we need. We need more drivers to be experienced, good drivers, and you're going to take your lumps. And I think what the government and a lot of these carriers need to understand is that, you know, drivers growing up, you know, from the start, they learn. They have to learn. There's a process. And you need to either train them and allow them to learn, you know, or then don't hire new drivers. Or, and you see that. And you see companies, some companies getting into training, some companies not. They're saying, hey, you got to have at least 3 years to work here. You know, that's the way it's going to be. So we have to learn to take our lumps, and speed limiters is not the way to go. Of course, we know that. But, you know, the data, I don't know. It's just, I can't see them changing their mind on this, because I know who's behind it. You know who supports this, right? It's the American Trucking Association. Here it is right here. ATA has since revised its policy to take into account the development of safety technology aimed at allowing trucks to travel faster and safer. For Class 7 and Class 8 trucks manufactured by 1992, equipped with automatic emergency braking and adaptive cruise control, ATA supports setting speed governors to a maximum speed of 70 miles an hour, according to comments filed by the FMCSA. Let's see, it says, I bet you the ATA did not never support. The ATA probably never supported the requirement of trucks to be, you know, because these are companies. The ATA supports the companies. It's made up of the companies. When it says American Trucking Association, it should say American Carrier Association. That's what it should say. Here's another one. It says the Truckload Carrier Association and Road Safe America, a nonprofit with a mission to reduce the number of crashes between trucks and passenger cars, both support ATA stance, providing the option of a maximum speed of 70 for trucks using AEBay and adaptive cruise control. That's what they're saying. They're saying that as long as these are newer trucks that have this, automatic emergency braking, which is all the fancy technology, then they'll support as high as 70 miles an hour. But in the proposed rule, it had it where 65, 68, they never did say 70. The American Truck Association, which developed a speed governing policy for commercial trucks in 2007, initially supported a fixed maximum speed of 65 for all Class 7 and Class 8 with electronic speed governors manufactured after 92. So that's what it is. See, they'll say, you know, hey, if all this other technology will support a mandate of 70, you know, because of all this fancy technology. But then what if the truck does not have that technology, you know? And that's what they want. They want to force all these owner operators. I mean, pretty much they're just trying to kill the owner operator. Let's just say it. That's what they want, because that's what we could see it. You know, got to have the fancy computers, got to have e-logs, got to have Qualcomms. You know, you got to have all that stuff. And of course, what's happening? Here's what's going to happen. Okay, all you owner operators out there. Okay. It's going to be insurance companies are going to force you to have this stuff. They're not going to give you insurance unless you have it. That's what's going to happen. And I'll tell you. But that's usually how it works. You know what? We're going to step away here, and we're going to have a little break, and then we'll come back and we'll get some people on the phone here, and we'll talk about it a little bit. So this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Don't forget to go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And just give us a call, 515-602-9731. Redneck and Eyes Radio is live. And your mind is not your own. Now we hear the night. With no left to go. You feel the time is right. Slip right into the world. The boy will catch the ground.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Be sure to go check us out, RedneckAndEyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel, man. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. We're really growing over there, and we're hoping that we can make great things happen over at YouTube. So keep it going on that. We're still here on Blog Talk Radio, though. You can call in. Like I said, this is audience participation. It's 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one, and get you in on here. Let's talk about it. So before I go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. That's a great trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. You see on YouTube Live there, they got some cool trucks. And, they're always busy. All the drivers I know over there, they say they're drop-dead busy over there. So check them out. LTRtransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation. And you can give them a call, 720-277-0030. Appreciate all their support of Redneck and Ice. So just to recap, we're talking about speed limiters, and it looks like that a couple of articles got put out and then they made the cover of the July issue of the Landline magazine. So that was a big deal. So what's going on there? We don't know. We're trying to get everything situated on that. And, it's crazy because what we do know is that we know that most all these big organizations and these big carriers, that's what they want, and they're trying to just put the owner operator out of business, just like California. So let's go to the phone here and bring them on. Hey, is this Jeff?
Yeah.
What's going on, my friend?
Yeah, I just tuned in to you and heard the end of that. And you were saying about these, trucks with the automatic braking systems on it. Boy, that made me feel pretty good. They're still talking about speed limiters because that'll allow me to go faster than everybody else out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're saying. They're saying as long as you've got the new technology, we'll let you go faster.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's
as long as all those they stagger all the elements so I can get around them.
Well, that's the thing, is everybody's going to be bunched together, so you'll have to just wait your turn because, you're going to have to stay out of the left lane, and then you're going to have to let the other trucks ride in the middle lane, and then the others, the ones running 65 and a half will be in the middle lane, the others running 66 will be in the right lane, and then when they hit the hills, they won't be able to pass each other.
So it sounds like the left lane, the third lane is mine.
Yeah, but you can't be in it. It's against the law. This is a left lane, no trucks, left lane.
Oh. That was a dead subject. Well, they're still talking about speed limiters, huh?
Well, I mean, so the commenting period is over, but there were some articles talking about it. And, of course, FMCSA put their lid on it and everything. But what happened was that in this article here, you figured out that the reason why the ATA says, you know, because of all the public comments and everything, the APTA has, I guess they have to come out and say, well, we were originally from 65, but, you know, hey, if you've got all of these, you know, if you've got emergency braking technology and adaptive cruise control, then we can see it as going as high as 70. So they're 70, still in favor. Yeah, they're still in favor of speed limiters. They just want you to, I mean, basically what they're saying is that if you go buy a new truck, then you can run a little bit faster than everybody else. And, you know, that's kind of what, that's the thing. I don't know if you've ever worked for like Swift or anybody like that, but they, you know, you're running 65 for a company driver, and then, you know, you don't want to go 65. You want to be able to go faster. And what they tell you is that, well, if you become owner operator and do lease purchase, we'll let you run 68. And the driver's like,
Right. Well, I know my adaptive cruise control. I absolutely love it.
I do too. I really do love that technology as well. It is very nice to be able to, you know, you're cruising down. I mean, every now and then it ticks you off because if you're not paying attention, and you know it's easy to not pay attention to like exactly how fast you're going, but if a truck ahead
right.
of you is going maybe two ticks slower than you, next thing you know, you're now going two ticks slower than you were. And because you're not going
right.
to, the computer is going to slow you down. So it's like, man, if I, you know, so a lot of times I'll notice it. Now, I don't know about yours, but on mine, since I'm a company driver in a company truck, they've changed the parameters. And what their parameter is that if you put your foot, you know, and I always thought this was weird. So if you put your foot on the floor, on the accelerator, then the cruise does not, like, you only run 63. But if you set the cruise and pull your foot off the accelerator, you'll do 65. So the cruise control will allow the truck to go 65. But you put your foot on it and don't use the cruise, it'll go 63. Well, used to, as long as the cruise was set, you'll always do 65, whether your foot's on the accelerator or not. Well, we used that as an advantage because the adaptive cruise control, you know, it would slow you down. Well, we'd put our foot on the floor, and it would maintain 65 until we got close enough to pass, you know, so that we wouldn't be out in the left lane taking up the space. Well, now
right.
they've changed
right.
that. They've changed that now. It doesn't do that. If you're going down the road and you're coming up to a slow moving vehicle, if you don't just get over before you get there, if you put your foot on the floor, it's going to slow you back down, whether the cruise is working or not. So you can only do 63 until.
Mine's not set up that way. My adaptive cruise control, I've got control on
right,
how many seconds I want. And then
right.
I also got control that if he's doing slower and I hit the foot speed, I can shorten that distance between them. And as
yes.
soon as I let off, you know, and say if he hits the brakes or something like that, I let off. Then it'll Jake break me back.
Exactly.
Not to hit him. And if his taillights come on red, then my collision avoidance system
yes.
sees the red lights and it'll lock the brake. It'll break you.
Yes, yes, yes. That's
so.
That's,
so the adaptive works with one thing, but then the collision does something else.
Right, right, exactly.
And the only thing I don't like about collision runs on colors and metal. So certain times of day when the shadows come off the overpass is just right and you dip down to go under an overpass, the shadow and the overpass will cause my collision avoidance to come on.
Yeah. Yep. I've seen that happen too. Even going down the road driving at night like I do, it's like you say, in the reflection off the road or a certain tip
yeah.
of the hill, like if the road is coming up or down a certain way, and like you're saying, the light hits it just right, whether it's the sun or you're causing a shadow or whatever, the computer can't tell the difference, and it doesn't do anything. It's funny the way the deal is, before the alarm will go off before the truck does anything. And it's like a split second thing. I mean, like on mine, when I see the mistake happening, like you're talking about, the truck will but then it'll like maybe for like a second, you know, and then it'll just go off because it'll realize, yeah. Oh, that's fake.
See,
I got
my audios turned way down on that stuff, so I don't have You know, the only loud audible I still have is my blind spot on the right side. Depending if I'm pulling a trailer or not, the truck is so smart it knows if I got a trailer on the back, it'll do the blind spot from the front bumper all the way to the back ICC bar of the trailer. Mm. But when I'm bobtailing, it says it knows that I don't have a trailer back there no more, and
okay.
So it just does the length of the tractor.
Mm. Man, that's something else.
Oh yeah, I've had times where. You know, I'm going down the road, and I don't know, I'm paying attention or doing something, and all of a sudden the truck in front of me must be doing 20 mile an hour. And all of a sudden I'm going, whoa, I don't know, what the hell, that truck's barely moving. And
yeah,
I could do one or three things. I can either hit the foot feet, which in that situation would be stupid, or the other thing, I hit the brake, and that'll knock it out of the collision, or foot feet. Brake or move over a lane. And then the move over a lane, some guys, I hate that adaptive cruise control, because every time I even see a road sign or a truck in my right lane, it'll want to slow me down. Well,
right.
I found out that you can go to your dealer and that view can be tweaked in so it's not such a wide view. A lot of guys don't know that, but that can be adjusted.
Yeah.
And that has to do, I mean, on the front of your trucks, you've got the metal, you know, that is controlled by the metal. That's the little sensor in the middle of the front, underneath the front grill. And then the smart trucks that have the cameras up in the windshield, it reads the lines and the traffic and the signage. You see, whenever I pass a speed limit sign, that's, you know, if it says 75 on the road, then my dash will show 75. If it changes to 65, my dash will show 65 miles an hour.
Well, it's not reading the sign.
It is reading the sign.
Yeah, the sign isn't being read. What it is, it's the GPS.
No,
the system. I'm telling you.
Being read.
No, because
no,
my, you know what else does that? You know what technology does that? Tells you the speed limit. Your Google Maps. Google Maps does the same thing.
Google. But exactly. But my Google Maps could show 65. And the sign on the road says 55. My dash is showing 55 miles an hour.
I was told
by Freightliner that the one camera in the middle of my windshield, all it does is read signs, speed limit signs.
Well, shoot, man. Then all it needs to do is develop technology to be able to read, like, hey, you're at mile marker so and so. You know, your next exit's coming up 5 miles. You know. You can give directions, audible directions to all the drivers. You don't need to wrap them.
There's a lot of that technology is going on because this is the pre-truck. Freightliner says this is the pre-truck of the self-driving truck, this Cascadia. So
yeah.
I could have got it. I ordered it with self-steering. But
yeah,
6 months or three, 2 months, 2 months before I got the truck, they said that hasn't been tested long enough to have that on there.
Right.
But it was supposed to, if you drifted, it would take hold of the steering wheel and bring you back to center of the line.
Yeah, there's cars now that have all that stuff where it'll stay in the lane. I had a rental car. It was a Nissan Rogue. And it had it where it would stay in the lane. If you had the cruise set, then the lane control would be engaged. But you know what it also, you know what it is, though? It had sensors.
What's that?
It had a sensor on the steering wheel. If you took your hand off the steering wheel, it would beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
So like what I did was is you just have to make sure you've got a couple of fingers on the steering wheel. And then the steering, you can see the steering wheel move. And I mean, I'm talking like taking a good turn, you know, a good like 45 degree curve.
I rented a new Outback up Snoqualmie up there when I was in. I rented a new Outback in Portland, and I went up Snoqualmie, and all the you know the mountain curves up there are just curvier than son of a buck. I set everything up on automatic. Took my hands off the steering wheel and seen if that car was following those mountains, roads, and at that speed. And it did. It was amazing. But after 5 minutes of not touching the steering wheel, a indicator on the dash said, must grab steering wheel. So you grab the steering wheel for about 2 or 3 minutes, you can let go again.
Yeah,
and when the car in front of you slowed down, it slowed down. When it sped up, you sped up. But I could not believe at 75 miles an hour how that car handled them curves at the appropriate speed. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yep. Yeah, it's smooth. Everything's smooth. I mean, I'm telling you, if they don't put it in trucks anytime soon, it'll be in cars like normal. I mean, they're even talking about the commercial in the GMC pickup truck. It's not even the self-driving will even change lanes and pass another vehicle. That's what it'll do. I don't know exactly the technology behind that, the commercial. You know how they exaggerate things a lot of times, so ain't no telling what real technology is. But I mean, it says that it'll do that. You know, it'll change lanes to avoid.
I saw a Ford about one that if you're pulling a trailer, it'll back that trailer for you.
Yeah, they got all that stuff too, back assist. Yeah.
Yeah, where it'll actually see a trailer back there, and it'll back it. It'll do a straight line back or.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like
there's actually some YouTube videos explaining how that works, and then they also there's like the backup camera on the Chevy pickups rear view camera is supposed to like take the trailer off, like you when you're backing up and you look at your backup camera. It has the outline of the trailer, but you can see, you're supposed to be able to see through it. And they just take, you know, like a wide angle and it kind of like creates a, you know, perception or whatever. But I don't think it actually can see directly behind you. But they're creating.
I don't know.
Yep.
I know. Yep. I know that Dad's got a new Denali GMC car. Terrain, I think it's called. And somehow it's got a front-facing camera that if you got a car in front of you, it'll shoot past that car like that car's not there. I don't know why you'd want that. I just don't understand why you'd want that.
Yeah, that's weird.
But.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, talking about being safe and, you know, whether or not we need technology, in this article here, they're talking about, you know, well, is it safer to run slower? And, of course, we'll all tell you that, no, it's not. I mean, you know, as long as you can stay away from traffic, that's the main thing, get away from traffic. So if you can speed up or not. But they had a little report here, and this is from the FMCSA, and it has number of fatal crashes involving big trucks in 2019, and it totaled 4,479. So fatal crashes involving large trucks. 123 at 25 miles per hour or less. Fatal crash, 25 miles an hour or less, 123 for the year.
Wow.
88 or above. No, I'm sorry. Unknown speed was 88. No statutory limit. So where, I guess they're talking about the speed limit of the road. Is probably what they're referring to, because I don't know if they can tell exactly how fast the vehicle was going. But on a big truck, it says no statutory limit, 45 accidents only that year. 123 at 25 miles an hour or less, but only 45 for no limit. And then 80 to 85 was 24
which was 0.5% of the total accidents for the year. And the most was at 50 to 55 miles an hour at 1,490 was that for the trucks that are on roads 50 to 55 fatal crashes. So obviously it's when everybody's bunched together at a slower speed, you get more accidents. And that we see that more often. I mean, it's the bunching. You agree? It's getting together. We don't want to be together.
We want
to be in a line, separate. Everybody get away from me. I mean, I tell people all the time, I got a video on YouTube talking about, you know, get away from the trucks. Don't, you know, if you're coming up on a big truck and you're going to not pass them very quickly, get on it and get around them. Get going. Get out of here. We don't want you. You stay away from me. And
I think they would, you know, everything is done about trucks and EODs and all these safety features. I still say if they would do one thing and one thing only, not go after the vehicle, but go after these cell phone manufacturers. You know, they all got built-in GPS in them. And as that GPS sees that they're moving in a car going over 5 miles an hour, that the features on that phone will not work unless you have a hands-free device connected to it. And they got technology for everything else. If they would do that, and that would keep all these, everybody, I'm talking about truck drivers, car drivers, everybody off the goddamn phone or holding the phone while they're driving a vehicle.
You know, you would think, being a vehicle manufacturer, you know, if you're making a car and you're making a nice car that has all these technical features, and you've already got the Bluetooth hookup to the phone, so the phone is hooked to the car. So then we know that the voice recognition works great. You know Google and Alexa has proven that. So you could actually, you know, I don't know if you've seen these new cars, man. Those screens in the middle of the dash, they're huge now, and it's like they could put pretty much the whole cell phone in the car. Like it could just say, okay, you can now operate all of the features, voice control, from your car. You know, you don't need to hold it in your hand. You can talk and all that.
That's right.
And it's like, you know, that,
well,
that's the
Telsat cars, they don't even have a dash. Everything is operated on that computer that is mounted in the middle of the dash.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's right. That's the thing they need to consider. I mean, it's one of those things where you're not going to get it. In fact, my mother was in the Kiwanis Club back in the day, and one of the guest speakers was a state trooper investigator, and they came and talked about, you know, this was back when the smartphones were still new, and some states were passing the no cell phone usage while driving and everything. And somebody asked, why doesn't the state of Texas have a ban on cell phones while driving? And they said, because the people that are in charge, they don't want that law. They want to be able to use their phones.
No. Exactly.
That's what it is.
Everybody you see uses, I mean, as a truck driver, it seems like every car that passes you has got a cell phone in their hand.
Yep.
Come on. You know, I mean, I see these people that's got them on speakerphone and they're holding the phone in front of them. They still got it in their hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's still one of the limbs on their body is being distracted and being occupied. And they can't do nothing with it.
Yep. It's just like the truck driver with the dash. It's like, man, you got, like you're saying, your limb is occupied.
you see drivers that got these self-driving cars, they got both hands going at it. They're not even looking at the road. I saw a gal yesterday. She had both feet up, tucked up under by her butt. Her knees up in her face, holding the steering wheel with a finger. I don't know if it's a self-driving car or what, but I'm like, my God. You know, she's got to uncurl before she even hits the brake. Her foot is 4 foot away from the brake.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, and she's driving down there. I'm doing 75. She had to be doing 85.
Oh, man.
I just, you know.
Crazy world.
I wonder, they blame the truck driver. Well, like I said, if you would disable texting functions completely in an automobile while moving, I bet those numbers you just talked about would be less than half.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yep. But it's not that they want to blame the trucker. The federal government can control the trucker.
Can control
that's,
it. Sure.
They're allowed to. You know, they're not allowed to control all the cars in America. You know, the states control the cars. The federal government is allowed to control the trucks. And that's pretty much what they've said. They said, you know, we're allowed to. We've got a law here. We've got an organization. There are our bureaucracy. We can control the trucks. And so if we want to change things, if we want to punish somebody, that's who we can punish. We're allowed to do that. You know, the law says we can't. So that's what it boils down to. We got to get it to where that's not the mentality. That the mentality is that, you know, you got to, if you want to prevent something, prevent everybody, because it's not just the drivers, but yeah, that's what it is. You know, and we see that in the numbers. We know it. Truck drivers know it. Don't try to pull the wool over our eyes. We see it. We see it all the time. So yeah, I think you're right. Yep. So how's the economy out there? You think anything going good? Freight rates still good?
Freight rates have come down a lot because the fuel prices go down. Your fuel surcharge has dropped down to 72 cents a mile.
Well, there's...
Which is crazy because you go to... I just did the East Coast. East Coast is still running close to $6 a mile. West Coast is running around $7 a gallon, I mean. The Midwest has got the cheapest fuel right now, it seems like.
Yep. So there was an article that came out on Friday, actually started trending because it's from Axios. I don't know if you know Axios. Axios is, I think it's like one of those far left liberal websites that does a lot of, you know, gotcha stories on that side or whatever. But they talked about it. They said, what trucking tells us about the economy? And they say that. They say sky-high freight rates are falling, pinching truckers' income, and that tells an important story about what's going on for the economy overall. He says, why it matters, nearly every good consumer in the U.S. is put on the truck. Nearly every good consumed in the U.S.
I got to take this call.
All right, bud. Take it easy, bud. We'll get you. But, yeah, So, Jeff is one of our good commentators on here talking about always supporting the show and everything. But what I was getting at on this here is that I know it because as truck drivers, we know it and we see it all the time. When the trucking starts slowing down, you don't see the economy slow down just yet. But when trucking falls off, you start seeing that's a pre-indicator. So when the trucking slows down, then the economy is definitely going to follow. So when the politicians try to tell you, you know, hey, everything's fine, everything's not fine. It's probably going to fall off. Things are going to dip a little bit. So everybody expect that to happen. There's some new numbers supposed to be coming out this week about the economy. So, you know, things like that, you just never know. So it says, much like the debate around the broader economy, freight watchers largely fall into two camps. Some say the industry is simply coming into a balance after 2 years of unsustainable activity. Others say the sector is rolling over and the freight recession with harsh consequences for some truckers is imminent. He says, what's going on? He said, one signal lies at spot market, a live indicator, the cost in the, to book is nowhere near capacity. He says, larger firms tend to use contract rates. He says they take cues from the spot rates. He says, but with a lag where prices are negotiable farther in advance. And the contract, you know, everybody says, well, the contract, you know, you want a contract to guarantee a rate. And in the trucking industry, you don't really care about the rate as much as you are the freight.
because when the freight falls off and you just can't haul nothing at all. And so a lot of times when you do a contract, you're actually, you know, it's a lower rate. You're not, you know, the shipper wants, they'll sign a deal to say, you know, hey, you do it for me, and the only time you have to pay more is when the fuel goes up. And to a shipper, that's a good deal because they're not paying anything extra unless the fuel goes up. And then the reverse on that, the good part about it to them is when the fuel goes down, they pay less. So, and as a driver or owner operator or anybody, you know, you're just trying to secure your dollar amount, and then that rate, that if the rate goes up or down, should only reflect the price of fuel. So FedEx, for the longest time, back in the day, when there really wasn't a way that, you know, these companies weren't really tracking fuel prices on their own, they were just kind of saying, hey, companies, you know, contractors, send us your fuel receipts, and then we'll pay for the fuel, you know, this at a certain rate or whatever. You just send us the receipts, and we'll pay that plus the rate that we're paying you. So really is they're just paying for the fuel. They're just cutting checks for the fuel on top of the rate. And the drivers never have to worry about buying either a higher price fuel or lower price fuel. They just know that their fuel bills were paid for. They just had to submit the receipts. So that kind of stuff like that leads the government to say, hey, that ain't right. You know, you're paying for their fuel. So that's an expense that they're not covering. You know, when you tell them specifically, we're paying for the fuel, that just means that, hey, you know, that's one less expense. The government sees it as you covering for them, and that means that they don't want to. That doesn't count as revenue, is what they're saying. They don't want the. You know, the IRS sometimes will come in there with a rule that says, you know, if you've got some way of proving that that's paid for, then that's not considered an expense on your revenue. So it's but. As a driver, you want to be able to write off as much, but you also would like to be able to say, I didn't earn that much. Oh, man. But, yeah, it looks like we're coming down to the wire here. Another day in the books. I got to get to work. So everybody have a great evening out there. Let's see what we got here. Oh, you know what? 10 seconds. Man, oh, man. So anyway, just check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. You'll find all the links to our social media right there on redneckandeyes.com. And appreciate everybody joining in, listening along. Like I said, we're also on YouTube Live. Check us out on there. And you'll be able to get all the great information you need on all that. So we'll get starting to wind down here. But everybody, just like I said, we'll be here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. And appreciate everybody listening along. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And we want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. We'll go put it right here for you. There they are. So just check them out, dpfregeneration.com, or give them a call at 800-634-3010. And that's one of those where you can get all your aftermarket, it's all the technology for your emission systems. You know, if you got the SCR or the DPF, and you need an EGR cooler, you know, they got all that technology. And they're just diesel engine experts that specialize in the exhaust part of it. But they're getting into all this other stuff too. They've got charge air coolers, and they're getting into mufflers and turbochargers. Just anything you need for the diesel engine. They've got tons of experience over there, and I think it's a great company, and they support the truck driver. So you can't deny, you got to support the companies that support truck drivers, and DPF Regeneration is one of those. So check them out. dpfregeneration.com or give them a call, 800-634-3010. So we'll see you guys tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.